Greetings again in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to gather. It's good to gather again. The beauty of singing, isn't that something? I continue to marvel when you take a group like this and you blend the four-part harmony with children's voices included. It's a beautiful picture. I wonder, did we ever stop and think, I wonder what God thinks. How does God view that? That's who we want to glorify this evening. This evening I have a devotional I'd like to share. Something that in my devotions at home, this is where I had been studying. And when Steve called to share, this is where I'd been studying, so I guess I'll just continue with my thoughts that I had here. And you know, the Lord, I've been reading through the Old Testament. I started in Genesis, and it seemed like the Lord is able to speak to us even through the Old Testament in amazing ways. But what I marvel at is we're not in the Old Testament era yet. It's a tremendous blessing that we can read the Old Testament and read the New Testament and see it unfold. We see the Old Testament prophecies of a Savior coming on the scene. And then in the New Testament, we can see it happen. We can see it unfold. And that's a marvelous thing, is it not? And what's even greater than that is that He has a desire to dwell within our hearts here. That's a marvelous thing. The Creator coming down and dwelling with man. That's a very, very marvelous thought. Turn your Bibles with me this evening to Joshua chapter 7. I think we will just go ahead and read this chapter. It's just 26 verses, and I think we should probably just read it here, and then we'll come back and we'll make a few comments afterwards. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And when they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite it, and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebrim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, and he and the elders of Israel put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou on thy face? Thus upon thy face Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribes which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the families which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by man, shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, and he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him. Tell me now, what hast thou done? Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his ass and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire, after they had stoned him with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turns from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. That's a rather startling story of the judgment of God upon a man. It's a terrible picture. It's a terrible picture of the outcome of a man's lusts. And tonight I'd like to go through this story a little bit and just pull out a few points that I thought I read through this story earlier this week, and I wondered, well, what could we receive out of such a dramatic story in history? Not only a story, but it's from the Word of God. What can we receive out of here? And I have a few thoughts here that I'd like to share with us tonight. And so we know the story, the history. Just a little bit before this, these folks had crossed the Jordan River. Now, remember that the Canaanites, not only the Canaanites, but all the people of the land there, their hearts melted because they had heard what had been going on in Egypt. It was before the day of text message and email. And that information had traveled all the way to Canaan. They knew what happened. We could turn back, and Rahab gives us a little bit of an insight what was happening in the city of Jericho. What was happening with the hearts of men. Rahab, I think it was said that the men's hearts, when they heard what God did to Egypt, in Egypt, Rahab said the men's hearts melted and became as water. Well, now we have a different scene. Now we have the children of Israel's hearts melting and becoming like water. Something's wrong here. Something's happening. Seems like God has withdrawn himself. So, the victory, they had crossed the Jordan. The Jordan was in a flood stage. The water had piled up. They passed through. Amazing, amazing miracle there. And now they get to Jericho, which was a big city. The numbers were dramatically different from Jericho to Ai, on how many people were in Jericho and how many were in Ai. There was a lot more in Jericho. And so all these amazing things had happened. And yet, something was wrong here that they couldn't win at Ai. And we see that as they had attempted to overtake Ai, we see that the poison of sin didn't show up right away. They had went to Jericho and won there, but a man had given in to his lust and went home with a bunch of things that he knew that he shouldn't have. And so the poison of sin didn't set in right away. It wasn't until, I don't know how many days later, that they went up against Ai, and all of a sudden, things started working the opposite direction than what expected. And so the poison settled in. God knew what was wrong, but the children of Israel didn't know, all except maybe Achan and his family. And all too soon, we see the results of sin. You know, sin is deceitful. It looks easy on the surface, even a bit fun. But the reaping will always be greater than the sowing. And the reaping that Achan got upon his life because of what happened was, I believe, a reaping far greater than he had bargained for or expected. It was a tremendous reaping. So Ai was smaller than Jericho, so obviously we're going to send a few less men. There's no use to weary everybody. Let's only send a couple thousand. And so they did. They proceeded Ai. They were driven back. A number of men were killed. So now the people's hearts were melted. Joshua was on his face. He had his clothes rent. He said, "Oh God in heaven, what are we going to do? We lost. Where are you? What happened?" Joshua didn't know about Achan's sin, but God did. Joshua didn't, but God did. And that's how it is today. We hide nothing. It's not possible. We will never hide. We can never hide any sin. God knows it's all exposed. It's wide open. And because of Achan's sin, a whole army became powerless by Ai there. And when we sin, as we soon shall see with Achan's life, and when we sin, others will get hurt. Why? Because a person who has hidden sin becomes hard to deal with. on certain issues, especially the issues that are close to the sin. Anger shows up, resentment for direction and authority. So now here's Joshua. He's down. He's done. He's crying before God. And God says, get up. Get up, Joshua. You have work to do. And so it is today, as God brings things to our attention, we're called of the Holy Spirit. We're called to get up and deal with these things. You know, as we go through life, as we sit into messages like this morning and the other evening there, Friday evening, we get convicted. And there's a call that comes on our life to get up and to work and to deal with those things that the Lord points out in our life. And so here Joshua was given the call to get up. And you know, it never works to put off for tomorrow that which needs to be dealt with today. It doesn't work, because tomorrow brings its own needs. And so whatever the Lord shows us today, then it's worthy to deal with those things today. So we think of, now God calls Joshua and he tells him to get up. Joshua says, prepare for tomorrow. We're going to bring the tribes all the way down to the families, and we're going to figure out where this sin lies. And it seems to me like something should have happened in Achan's heart. Seems like Achan should have fallen on his face. Seems like things could have been a little different here. But we don't see Achan showing up yet. The following day comes. It's a solemn day. It's a day when every family in the Israelite nation knows that they're going to be called before the judgment seat, so to speak. And so here they come, one family after the next, filing past. And the Lord, through Joshua, starts pointing out. And they break it down by the tribes to the family. And then he asks a question which needs to be continued to ask throughout all generations to come, and has been asked in history. What have you done? What have you done? Think about it. Joshua makes a mandate. No one should take anything from Jericho. And the same day or so, Achan comes home and he hides these things in his tent. Envision with me the family setting. So we don't know. The Bible doesn't really tell us. But it says he had sons and daughters that ended up going to the Valley of Achor with him. It's a terrible scene. But in the family setting, you know, we think of Achan coming home, the victory of Jericho, the talk in the setting that night. We were able to overtake Jericho. It was an amazing victory. The walls just fell flat. But in one tent specifically, there was a man that he came home that night, and he was quite guilty. He came home and he dug a hole in the middle of the tent. And I don't know, maybe they each had their own tents. I'm not sure. Maybe his wife was there with him. And maybe his wife said, honey, it's not worth risking our life. But the lust had completely consumed this man. He was powerless, it seemed like. So here he was digging a hole in his tent. He lays everything in there real nice. And the following day or so, they go up against Ai and it didn't work. It seems like when Joshua started calling the families, think about it. Achan knew what was going on. Achan should have felt a nudging in his heart to just fall on his face and say, it's me, I'm the one. Especially when the families started filing past Joshua. Think about it. That's quite a scene. And slowly but surely, it's narrowed down. and the families are taken. But Joshua, Achan still had not repented. It seems like he should have fallen on his face long before this, but his pride kept him from doing it. He waited until he was standing before Joshua and until he was caught, and then he confessed. You see, the confession, when I get caught, is not really a true confession. It seems like Achan should have been confessing long before this, but he wasn't. So now he confesses. Achan says, "What did you do?" And boy, he really confesses. He opens up. Think about his family. Remember, they called the families. They called the tribes. They called the families. Think about his family. It said he had sons and daughters. Think about this scene. Now he's before Joshua. And Joshua said, "What did you do?" And he says, "I stole the Babylonish garment. I looked and I coveted. I took the wedge of gold and the silver." And think about these children. Daddy's caught. He got caught red-handed. Here we are. Here we are in front of all the whole congregation of Israel. Now what's going to happen? This is a picture of the pride of man, not wanting to confess until I get caught. But oh, the blessing. The men who are quick to confess as soon as God shows us our wrong, whether through a brother, husband, wife, or our children. I wonder, but I fear Achan maybe was living his life a bit on the edge. Maybe he was living this way a little bit, just life on the edge. I don't know. But living life on the edge of obedience is actually disobedience. Living life on the edge of obedience is disobedience. It's interesting that this whole army became powerless because of one man. One man. One thing I'd like to consider this evening here is that when Achan sinned, he did not only commit one sin. And I'm going to briefly go through a number of sins as I started pondering over what happened here and how many sins that this man actually committed. And there'll be more that you could add. But we'll stop with the few that I have. The first one I have is Achan was serving himself. And when we serve self, there's no fear of God in us. We don't fear God. The second one is idolatry. He was holding something, that wedge of gold. The wedge of gold, the silver in the Babylonish garment, he was holding higher than his fear for a holy God. So it was idolatry. Number three, he committed adultery. In Joshua 1:16, Achan was among those who said, "All that thou commandest us, we will do." And he broke his commitment. He committed adultery. The Hebrew word says there in the Strong's, it says to apostatize. Number four, lust. He did not control his eyes. It says he looked. He saw. Number five, he was dishonest. He was not honest at all until he got caught. He was very dishonest. Number six, rebellion. He openly rebelled against God's clear direction, "Thou shalt not." He just went against that. Number seven, he stole. He stole something that God clearly forbade. Something that didn't belong to him. Number eight, deception. He deceived his own heart as well as his family. Think about that. Number nine, covetousness, desiring a forbidden thing. He coveted after something that was not his. Number 10, pride. Why pride? Because at the core of all sin is pride, which makes a man think that he can get away with this. Number 11, the love of money. It's clear that here that Achan was infatuated with expensive things. It just grabbed his attention. Therefore, he was powerless. And somehow he hid, I don't know how you can hide a wedge of gold and a chunk of silver and a Babylonish garment and get that back to the tent. I'm not sure how that all worked, but he did it. And so in verse 24, we see Achan standing in front of Joshua. It seemed up until now, Achan had a choice. He would have had a choice to leave that wedge of gold. He made a choice when he picked it up. He made a choice when he spent so much time. Achan didn't just glance at that. He spent some time looking at it. He made a choice when he spent some time looking at the expensive clothes and the money, and then he fell. He made a choice when he was hiding his stash in his tent. That was a choice. He chose to do that. He had a choice when he put his head on his pillow that night. He had a choice. He could have repented. We don't know. But it seemed like things could have been different. But he hardened his heart, and therefore his eyes were completely blinded. He became blind to what was happening. Now, in verse 24, Achan's time of choosing was over. Now, somebody was going to choose something for him. Achan's time of choosing was over. Judgment had come. It's too late, Achan. Not only for judgment, for Achan and himself, but he brought judgment on his sons and his daughters. It's a terrible scene. Envision the cries as the stones start flying. The cries become silent. And a great heap of stones is raised upon Achan and all that he had. It's over. Imagine the conversation in the tents that night. Quite different than the conversations after they came back from Jericho. They took everything he had. Now, this is quite a dramatic story in history. We see what God thinks about sin. But we don't want to stop there. We see that the 10 sins that were mentioned are the sins that are still committed today. And many of us can identify to having been caught with many of those sins red-handed. You know, those sins, as well as many more that were committed by Achan there, were many sins that I had in my own life. But tonight, if it wasn't for the grace of God, who of us would be alive? It wouldn't be any of us. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight, the end result of unrepentant sin is still terrible. It's actually still terrible. Sin will not enter heaven. Yet tonight, I'd like to just close with another way. It's the way of being born again. It's the way of the new birth, where a man and a woman confess every sin that they've ever committed, and they get on their face before the judgment. Before the time that they're called to the great white throne judgment, and they get on their face here on this earth and they confess every sin they've ever committed before a holy God. And they confess it to God and man, and they get right with God. Whether it's a sin committed physically or in the mind, it's all sin. It's all sin. Confessing before God and man in a distinct turning away from the old paths and asking God for grace to chart a new course, a different way. This is the way of peace. It's the only way. This is the only way to God is through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. This is not done by joining a church or baptism, but by confession and repentance. And then the baptism following. And then as we become born again believers, you know, we must continue to keep a short account with God. Let's keep our slate clean. You know, when we lay our head on our pillow at night, let's make sure that there's nothing between us, because it could be our time to pass on into eternity. Keeping our conscience clear between God and man is very important. John 8:51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. 1 John 5, just thinking of a few verses here in closing. Thinking of this other way, the way of life, the way of eternal life. 1 John 5:11-13, for this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 1:9, many of us could quote that scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the way that we want to take, the way of peace, the way of righteousness. Not the path that Achan took. That's the path unto death. So I'm thankful this evening that we have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and to be free, to confess our sins. We have this moment. We have this opportunity. Tomorrow we may not have it, but we still have it today. Let's not miss it. And so by the grace of God, let's continue to push into the kingdom. God is still working in all of our lives together. So it's a tremendous blessing. So I'll leave you with those few thoughts.